Good morning. So I have a question this morning. That is, have you had anything happen this week that was unexpected? Or maybe it hasn't even been this week. I see a couple hands coming up there. Maybe it's been in the last month or in the last year. Maybe it's been something really great, like a gift you didn't expect, or a card. I always think when a card shows up in the mail, that's completely unexpected these days, right? Or maybe it was something harder. Maybe it was some unexpected news that broke your heart. Well, what we're going to talk about today is how we respond to unexpected, because every day is full and every lifetime is full of unexpected. But how do we respond faithfully to the unexpected in our lives? A few years ago, we were getting ready to move over here. We used to live in Lake Stevens, and we were preparing our house. And I say we, that was really my husband Eric, but I'll just keep saying we. And so room by room, we're going through our house and we're fixing things up to get ready to sell it. And one day I heard him say something like, "It's time for the kitchen." But I didn't quite hear him correctly, because I walked out into the kitchen, and all of a sudden the refrigerator was like out in the middle of the kitchen. And the cupboard doors were taken off because he was going to sand them and paint them. And this was really unexpected for me. And a few more things unexpected happened, along with the fact that the kitchen's clearly getting remodeled today, was looking behind the refrigerator. Anybody look behind there? Just don't do it. Apparently, this is a place you're supposed to clean on a regular basis. And that thing, I'm going to say I don't do it, so anyone else who doesn't do it, you can feel better about yourself. I don't clean there. And I looked down, and I was reminded of the popcorn kernels, and I can almost hear them click, 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 as they spilled from the countertop into that little crack. It shouldn't be there. It should just be solid, right? So stuff doesn't spill. And so I remember thinking, I'll get that later. And I didn't, obviously, because it was still there. And the other thing I didn't expect was seeing those doors off of the cabinets. I felt vulnerable. I don't know why I felt so vulnerable, other than in my mind, moving meant I was going to get to pack all that stuff up and then the doors would come off. But the doors coming off revealed the clutter theme that I have for organizing my kitchen. And if you come to my house, it's the same today as it was then. But I was really upset. I did not respond well to this really awesome thing that Eric was doing. I was pretty mad, I'll just have to admit. And I'm sure there was like some huffing and some expletives and whatever. And then I left the conversation. I did have somewhere to go, but I left the conversation. I was frustrated and we went, I was teaching at our church that night, and I did pull myself together before I taught the kids. But I left the conversation, and I look back on that response and other similar types of responses I've had in my life, and I think, how could I do that better? How could I be more faithful in responses? How could I be more faithful in engaging in conversation with God rather than exiting the situation? And what can God do when we stay in those situations and stay in conversation with him? So today, I'd encourage you to open your Bible if you have it, or your Bible on your phone, or we'll have the scripture up on the screen. We're going to be in the book of Luke today. In chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And we're going to talk about Mary and this unexpected news that she received when she found out that she would be the mother of Jesus. So beginning in verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Well, let's just pause right here and think back of maybe what Mary was feeling then. She is pledged to be married to Joseph. She knows something. She knows that she's a virgin. She's thinking about planning her wedding. She's thinking about what life might be like. What might life be like to live with Joseph? How many kids might we have? What might we name them? There's so many possibilities that she might be expecting. But she probably wasn't expecting the angel Gabriel to show up and to give her these words. In verse 28, he said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. So we have a couple things going on right here. Here is this angel Gabriel in front of her telling her she is highly favored. And that is really great. But for Mary, Mary is troubled. Because for her, there's a few things going on in this situation. There's an angel standing in front of her. And these aren't the angels that we picture on Hallmark cards. Because when angels are in the Bible, they're always telling people, don't be afraid. Because they're awesome and they're mighty. And Mary is troubled. She's also troubled because of the greeting he gives to her. He says, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Here's this angel, but also this in like a man form, telling her, this Jewish woman, this message, which wasn't a common thing to happen. The Message version says, she's thoroughly shaken. The NASB version says, she is greatly perplexed. And as we start thinking about how we respond to unexpected, I think it's important to go back here and note right away that Mary was troubled. She was perplexed. But Mary was still faithful. And it is okay when unexpected comes into our life and we feel troubled and we feel perplexed, because we can still be faithful in those moments. It doesn't have to be all perfect looking. It isn't a Hallmark movie. It's okay to cry and react. But Mary stayed in the conversation. The beginning of her faithful response was staying there, even when things felt pretty crazy. As we move on, in verse 30, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." And because she stayed in that conversation, she heard him reassure her again. Don't be afraid. You are favored. I know this is scary. I know this is crazy. I know this isn't what you expect. But you're going to give birth to a son named Jesus. She stayed in the conversation. Her reaction was to remain right there, even though she was perplexed. And the angel went on and he says, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." She continued to listen and he continued to give her more information. When we stay in the conversation, God will give us more information. I think he gives it to us in ways that we can handle with him. And he provided her more layers. And it's okay for things to feel like they're unexpected after unexpected after unexpected. Do you ever have a day like that? Or like a whole season of life where you're like, God, there's just so much that's coming on me that feels so unexpected. Mary did in one conversation, and this was just the beginning. But she remained there. And then Mary did something really important that I think we need to remember that is totally great and totally okay. Along with feeling perplexed and confused, she asks a question. She says, "How will this be? Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Do you ever have an unexpected or God calls you to something that you're like, I cannot see what this is going to look like? It is okay to ask questions. My husband, who remodeled that kitchen, which looked awesome, by the way, he is one of those brains. Have you ever seen the home remodel show where the little computer thing comes on and it like sketches out what it's going to look like? I swear that's what's happening inside of his brain. Now, my brain is just white, nothing. And I have had to learn with him just to ask him questions. Can you draw that out for me? Because I can't see it. It's okay to ask God. Mary's not doubting God. Mary's not saying, God, this is impossible. She believes him. She's just saying, can you show me? Because I'm a virgin, so I'm not really seeing how that's going to work. Right? And she asks, and he explains, because she stayed there. She stayed in the conversation. She stuck around for the answer. Sometimes we ask questions and then we run off. Or we pray to God and then we don't bother to listen to his answer, right? She stayed there. We have got to stay there. It's okay to wonder how it's going to happen or what it's going to look like. And then, remaining in the conversation, he continues and he says, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." He gives her reassurance. God will reassure us. Mary doesn't ask for a sign. God gives her one anyway. Because when she goes to see Elizabeth, it's pretty clear. She's 6 months pregnant here, so she's going to be farther along there. It's going to be pretty clear that she is pregnant too. And that these words are true, because no word from God will ever fail. Give him a chance to give you some reassurance. Give him a chance to give you a sign. And what's going on for Mary in all of this, in this layer upon layer of unexpected? What's she feeling? What's she thinking? I'm thinking she's probably thinking right about then, oh dear, what is Joseph going to think? Right? What are my mom and dad going to think? What are his mom and dad going to think? How's the gossip in the village going to go for a long time, right? And despite all of that, despite not really actually being able to see how it's going to go, Mary had great faith, and her response to God was, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." She's feeling all the feelings, right? It's uncomfortable. You're wondering what the future is going to look like. She's asking questions. God's reassuring her. This is so much. And she submits to God right there, not knowing exactly what it's going to look like. May your word to me be fulfilled. And because she submits to him, the Lord does some really amazing things through this woman, right? Because Jesus Christ was born. And he did become fully human and fully God. He came to this earth so that we don't have to be alone. so that we can have reassurance, so we have the forgiveness of sins, so we can have grace instead of shame, grace instead of guilt. He died on the cross for us. And God was able to accomplish that work because Mary said, yes, I will be your servant. So I ask you, what will God do with your faithful response? We will only know what he can do with our faithful response if we give him a chance, if we stay in the conversation, if we ask him questions and let him reassure us. But if we walk away, we will not know. So I've come to realize that my fridge is about to move again. I'm not moving, not going back to the west side, but the fridge is going to move. And the reason is because several years ago, God put something on Eric and my heart. We're on vacation, we're in Mexico, hanging out at the pool, probably not expecting God to really do something right there. But we met this family, and they had kids who were a little bit older, and they had adopted this little girl. And Eric and I, we just said right there, yeah, that's what we want to do. And so God has been working in our lives since then, because we knew we didn't want to do that right then. The girls were still really little. And so we've walked through and we've started to walk at some points down the path of adoption. And then we have just felt like it was a no, or maybe a not right now. Even about a year ago, we started to walk down the path and we felt like it was probably a no. And I felt at peace that maybe this is just not a thing that's going to happen. And Lord, you'll use all of this for whatever your purposes are. And then about 6 months ago, through like a whole bunch of ugly cry, because that's how it always seems to come for me, I felt the Lord lay on my heart, it's time. And I said to Eric, I think it's time for us to start walking down this road again. And he's like, yep, absolutely. And we brought the girls into this conversation because we need to give our kids a chance to have conversation too. They're not going to learn to have conversation unless they see us doing it. We needed to let them feel a bunch of feelings. We need to let them ask questions and be a part of this process. And really funny thing, this week I'm sitting at my desk working on this sermon and I get a text from Eric that says, do you want me to start working on the kitchen now? I'm like, no. No, thanks, because one of the things we're working on is doing some remodeling to our house. And one of the parts in that is putting on an addition. And there was a whole other unexpected thing in putting on this addition to our house. Is that in some of the planning, we come to find out that the water district's main line runs right through our yard. Well, that means you can't build on the Bain Water District line. I was a little bit less excited about irrigation at that point, but all I could think was this peace that had come around me that was like, you know what? God is not going to let an irrigation line stop him from making an adoption happen. And I don't know what's going to happen with this. We're working on some different plans. There's been a whole bunch of unexpected feelings for me personally. Because our girls are now 11 and 13, and I don't know what it's going to be like to have a younger child in our house. I've said no to some things and cried really hard about saying no. And I've asked God, what is this going to look like? But the important thing in it all is the commitment to stay in the conversation and to trust Him and to be okay with things feeling weird or feeling sad or wondering. We stay there. And so I ask you, how has your fridge been moved lately? Can you think of a time where it has been moved, or maybe there is something going on for you in your life right now where things are changing and they feel a little weird, or maybe they feel a lot weird, or maybe you've been doing a whole bunch of crying and asking God questions. And how do we want to respond faithfully to those unexpected things? How do you want to respond to the next unexpected thing that happens? I think what we need to do is we need to decide right now, this is how I want to respond, God. And then we need to put it into practice in our lives, into graceful practice too, right? We put it into our lives in our daily conversations, staying in the Bible, staying in the Word, staying in conversation with God, staying in prayer. We put it into practice with our parenting or teaching or mentoring when those unexpected things happen. Because if you're a parent, your life is just a whole bunch of unexpected, right? But we put it into practice in those places. We put it into practice at work. Because at work, generally, we're working with other people. And you just don't know what's going to happen when you put a bunch of people together, right? But how do we faithfully respond? We stay in a conversation with God when that unexpected thing happens at work. When maybe we get overlooked. Or maybe there's something really great. We constantly stay with Him in conversation. Maybe our husband or wife comes home from work and we're expecting them to come home and it's going to be this great greeting and it's going to be wonderful and we're going to have this wonderful evening together or day and they're grumpy. That happens, right? Or maybe we're grumpy. Maybe they've come home and they're expecting us to be like in a really good mood and we're not. Let's get in a conversation with God before we get in that conversation with one another, right? God, what do they need from me right now? Clearly, they're not feeling great. How can I love them well? Show me. I can't even see it right now, but stay in that conversation with Him. Some of us walk with depression and anxiety. And when we walk with that, there's a lot of unexpected that happens. Because it seems to go in waves where sometimes we're going along feeling pretty good. And then for no apparent reason, we're in a deep, dark place. Or we're feeling just so super anxious, we don't even know what to say to the person next to us. And even though we've experienced it before, it is still unexpected. It oftentimes, it doesn't make sense. How do we respond in that situation? We get in the conversation with God, and we stay there. We get in conversation with trusted family and friends, and we stay there. Because we cannot, as a world and a community, let suicide be an option anymore. We need to come around one another. We need to stay in conversation with one another. Whether you think someone's doing great or whether you think they aren't, you don't know. But we need to stay in conversation with one another, stay in conversation and ask questions. And we need to stay there with God. And we need to remember that it's okay to not feel great. It is okay to feel sad and feel really crappy. We can still be faithful and be in that place. Let God remind you that you are not alone, because you are not alone. I want to ask us to be really bold here for a second. I want to ask you, if you have experienced anxiety or depression, I want to ask you to raise your hand and look around. Because we are not alone. We are brothers and sisters that are here for one another. We have on staff Pastor Megan Rush, who is a licensed counselor, and she would love to talk to any one of you anytime. Please reach out. And please know that for all of us, whatever our unexpected is, God is looking to do something great with it. He is looking for us to trust Him. And understand that when we're in the middle of it, when we're in the thick of hard places, it's okay. It's okay to feel like, well, how can God use this for His glory? Let Him sort that out. It's not up to us to figure that out. But He will use it for His glory. Christine Kane says, when unexpected challenges come, God wants the eyes of our faith to immediately look up, to scan the horizon for how He is going to use this for our gain, for our good, and for intentional purpose to advance His kingdom. He's looking for us to be in conversation with Him. He's looking for us to ask Him questions. He's looking to reassure us. He wants to tell you how much He loves you. Let Him. I want to read one verse before we head in to prayer. It's from Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. As we move into a time of prayer, I'd like to invite the worship team to come forward. And again, I would like to ask you to be bold. I would like to ask us to step into a time to pray for one another. So if you are in a place in your life where something unexpected is happening, I would want to ask you to stand up today. And I know this is hard, but it's totally worth it because we want to come around you in prayer. And I'm down here because I'm standing up as one of those people walking through unexpected. If you walk and you deal with anxiety or depression, if you walk and there's some unexpected thing happening, I ask you, please go ahead and stand up now. Let us be there for you. Let us pray alongside you and with you, and so that you know that you are not alone. Go ahead, stand up. In congregation, I would ask you to come around one another. Hold a hand. Put a hand on a shoulder. Go ahead, get up. Let's all get up. Pray for one another. Feel free to come up and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, You do amazing things. You work in our lives in unexpected ways for Your glory, to do things that we never dreamed were possible. Help us today, Lord. Help us today to just give our unexpected to you. Help us to turn to you in conversation. Help us to know it's okay to feel perplexed or confused, that we can still be faithful. Help us know that it's okay if we've walked out of the conversation, that we can walk back in with you and with others. Help us, Lord, to be fearless. Help us to ask you questions. Help us to stick around for the reassurance that you are giving us. And God, we pray so deeply for those people who are in really hard places where the world seems to be closing in. We ask that they stay in the conversation with you and with others. We lift up this congregation, we lift up this community and this world to be a world that is in conversation with you, a world that is living for you and through you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.